Radharadhanath ki, Sri Giri Govardhan ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Ekadasi Vrata ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Gopremanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we assume the sound is okay on your end. Nadirs, ya dumayoshtoi. Hayatamo, we zakrivayam. What? Just one moment, I need to drink some water. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading today from Sri Prabhupada Lilamrita, Volume 2, Planting the Seed, New York City, 1965-66, Chapter 21, Beyond the Lower East Side. So, first of all, a statement from Brahmananda Prabhu. But we were shocked that he was going to leave. I never thought that Krishna consciousness would go beyond the Lower East Side, what to speak of New York City. I thought that this was it, and it would stay here eternally. Brahmananda. Hare Krishna was becoming popular. Regular kirtans in the park, newspaper coverage. Hayagriva called it the Hare Krishna explosion. The Lower East Side hippies considered the chanting of Hare Krishna one of the grooviest things happening, quote unquote, and that the Swami's disciples didn't take LSD didn't seem to affect their popularity. The devotees were accepted as angelic people, carrying the peaceful chanting to others and offering free food and a free place to stay. You could get the most interesting vegetarian food free at their place if you went at the right time. And in their storefront, on the shelf by the door, were books from India. In the clubs, local musicians played the melody that they'd picked up from the Swami when he chanted in the park and at the temple. The Lower East Side was a neighborhood of artists and musicians, and now it was also the neighborhood of Hare Krishna, Burton Green. Musicians were influenced by it, the Krishna chant, Govinda Jai Jai, and other chants. I used some of those chants when I recorded. A lot of musicians reached out for this in different ways. We would explode in a short time and blow off, but then keep the chant underneath as a basis. A lot of people found that spiritual vibration, even in the midst of the heavy music they were doing. They were becoming devotee musicians. Well, it's a fact that right at the beginning in those very early days, Hare Krishna was cool, so to speak. In the terminology of the day, Hare Krishna was definitely cool. And they didn't mind that we had certain standards which were, at least some of them were quite different from theirs, and quite different in the sense of being much more conservative. So they didn't mind for the time being. After a while, they did mind, or they started minding more. We read last time I read, oh, wait a minute. We already read this. We read this. Ah, Krishna. Because I'm just about to read about the fugs again. You remember that? The fugs. F-U-G-S. The fugs. Ah, Krishna. Yeah. Anyway, that's okay. But, yeah. But for some time, they tolerated or even sort of appreciated some of the conservativeness in terms of moral standards. But after a while, anyway, because, well, I'm just reading in Bhagavad Gita, preparing for the classes coming up in a while, about how on the material platform everything is temporary, and yeah, everything is temporary. That's the basic principle in very simple terms. Everything's temporary, and therefore something which is like today may not be liked tomorrow. Yes, in different ways. This of course is a very prominent part of life on the material platform, that sometimes something is popular and then a little later it's not popular, but something quite different is popular. That's material life. So particularly when Krishna consciousness challenges material life, material conceptions of happiness, material conceptions of not just happiness, but what gives you enjoyment. In other words, and that principle of enjoyment, my personal enjoyment on the level of my senses, this is like a very foundational aspect of material existence. When you start challenging that, well, it doesn't take long before some people, or even a lot of people, they can't deal with it. They can't really accept it. So, this is what happened. And I remember when I joined also, Hare Krishna was still somewhat cool. Not as much as I thought. I thought it was really cool, actually. But a lot of people didn't think it was as cool as I thought. But still, there was a significant number of people who thought it was cool, using the terminology that they use. Yeah, so when you challenge material life on such foundational levels, then certainly some resistance arises. And this is what you can expect. And after a while, this is what happened with the devotees. Let me just drink some more water. Evening kirtans were always big. Brahmananda used to stand by the back door every night and watch the room fill up until there was no place left to sit. There was a lot of interest in the group chanting and music making. But after the kirtan, when the talk was to begin, people would start to leave. It was not uncommon for half the audience to leave before the talk began. And sometimes people would live in the middle of the lecture. Well, we had a preaching center in Joburg in Yeovil, sort of on the edge of Yeovil, Saratoga Avenue, and we had a program every evening, Monday to Friday. And every evening, Monday to Friday, between, say, 5 and 30 people would come. In other words, it was quite a nice program. Not a big program, but it was every day, Monday to Friday. And noticing this phenomenon that people leave, we changed the program around a bit. And what did we do? I think we served prasadam at the end. And people stayed. So, of course, some people came in a bit late. You know, these things happen. But people are on the sensual platform. That they really are. And without something Krishna conscious to stimulate their senses, well, anyway, it can be a little difficult. Excuse me. So here we go. One evening, Allen Ginsberg brought Ed Sanders and Tully Kupferberg of the Fugs to the meeting. The Fugs, a local group that had made a name for themselves, specialized in obscene lyrics. Among the popular songs of Ed Sanders were Slum Goddess of the Lower East Side, Group Grope, and I Can't Get High. Ed had wild red hair and an electric red beard, and he played a guitar during the kirtan. The devotees were happy to see their prestigious guests. Just a sec, I've got to just alter something here. They're prestigious guests, because they were not too prestigious, actually, but they were a bit prestigious. The night of the Fugs, however, Prabhupada chose to speak on the illusion of sexual pleasure. Quote, sex pleasure binds us to this material world birth after birth, he said. And he quoted, as he often did, a verse of Yamunacharya. Since I've become Krishna conscious, whenever I think of sex life with a woman, my face at once turns from it and I spit at the thought. The Fugs never returned. Good, actually, because they were much more degraded than the average, much more. To speak ill of sexual pleasure was certainly not a strategic move for one who wanted to create followers among the Lower East Side hippies, but Prabhupada never considered changing his message. In fact, when Umapati had mentioned that Americans didn't like to hear that sex was only for conceiving children, Prabhupada had replied, I cannot change the philosophy to please the Americans. What about sex? asked the ISKCON attorney Steve Goldsmith one evening, speaking out from the rear of the crowded temple. Sex should only be with one's wife, Prabhupada said, and that is also restricted. Sex is for the propagation of Krishna-conscious children. My spiritual master used to say that to beget Krishna-conscious children, he was prepared to have sex 100 times. Of course, that is most difficult in this age. Therefore, he remained a brahmachari. But sex is a very strong force, Mr. Goldsmith challenged. What a man feels for a woman is undeniable. Therefore, in every culture, there's the institution of marriage, Prabhupada replied. You can get yourself married and live peacefully with one woman, but the wife should not be used as a machine for sense gratification. Sex should be restricted to once a month and only for the propagation of children. Hayagriva, who was seated just to Swamiji's left, besides the large dangling symbol, spoke out suddenly, "Only once a month?" And with a touch of facetious humor, he added loudly, better to forget the whole thing." "Yes, that's it. Very good boy," Swamiji laughed, and others joined him. "It is best not to think of it. Best just to chant Hare Krishna." And he held up his hands as if he were chanting on a strand of beads. "That way we'll be saved from so much botheration. Sex is like the itching sensation, that's all. And as when we scratch, it gets worse. So we should tolerate the itching and ask Krishna to help us. It is not easy. Sex is the highest pleasure in the material world, and it is also the greatest bondage." But Steve Goldsmith was shaking his head. Prabhupada looked at him, smiling. "There's still a problem? It's just that, well, it's been proved dangerous to repress the sex drive. There's a theory that we have wars because..." Cut off. "People are eating meat," Prabhupada interrupted. "As long as people eat meat, there will be war. And if a man eats meat, he will be sure to have illicit sex also." Steve Goldsmith was an influential friend and supporter of ISKCON, but Prabhupada would not change the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, quote unquote, to please the Americans. Judson Hall on West 57th Street cost $200 to rent for one night. Roy Ram thought it was time Swamiji tried reaching some of the more sophisticated New Yorkers. And since Judson Hall was near Carnegie Hall and sometimes had interesting concerts and lectures, he thought it would be a good place to start. Swamiji agreed to the idea, and Roy Ram printed an announcement, which he distributed in the Midtown bookstores. On the night of the event, the devotees paraded through the Midtown entertainment areas, beating a bass drum and handing out leaflets. Then they returned to Judson Hall for the program. Only 7 people attended. The devotees felt terrible. They had misled Swamiji and spent the equivalent of a month's rent. "We can cancel the program if you like, Swamiji," Roy Ram said. But Prabhupada replied, "No, let us chant and speak." So the devotees took the stage and chanted with Swamiji and danced, and then sat beside him as he lectured, his voice echoing through the empty hall. Afterwards, Swamiji called for questions, and a young man, about 15 vacant rows back, asked whether he was correct in understanding that Swamiji's philosophy was primarily for reforming destitute young people. No, No, Prabhupada replied. Everyone in this material world is lost and destitute, even the so-called successful person, because everyone has forgotten Krishna. After the program, Swamiji sat in a chair by the exit as the few members of the audience were leaving. A respectable-looking couple introduced themselves, and Swamiji sat up very straight with folded hands and smiled. Brahmananda's mother was present, and Swamiji was very cordial toward her. But in general, the devotees were depressed at the small turnout. I'm sorry, Swamiji. We invited you here and almost no one came, Roy Ram apologized. But Prabhupada, Sri Sri Radharadnath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. But Prabhupada raised his eyebrows and said, "No one? Did you not see Narada? You did not see Lord Brahma? When there's chanting of Hare Krishna, even the demigods come to participate." Back at the temple, Prabhupada chided Roy Ram. "I told you we should have charged money. When something is free, people think it is worthless. But just charge $3 or $5 and people will think, oh, you're offering some very valuable thing." In Bengal, there's the story of a man who went house to house offering free mangoes, and no one would take his mangoes because everyone thought, oh, why is he giving away these mangoes? There must be something wrong with them. So he charged 3 rupees, and then they thought, these look like good mangoes. The price is only 3 rupees. All right. So when people see that something is free, they think it's worthless. Charge them some money, and they will think it's very nice. Actually, this is what we do. At least for many years we've been doing in Russia. Charge money, and people come. And particularly the devotees who do the indirect preaching, which is just hugely successful. They always charge good money. Yeah. Oh yeah, they charge. You know, they might charge 50 rands, yeah, 100 rands sometimes, yeah. And people come. The places get packed. I mean, they're not big halls, but like 200, 300 people, that sort of scale. And actually, this is what Srila Prabhupada said famously. I remember when we were informed about it way back, 70, whatever it was, Srila Prabhupada was still present. It was probably like 74, 75 when the book distribution really started developing. Srila Prabhupada spoke against giving his books away free because he said people will think it's just some, you know, some throwaway thing and they'll throw it away, literally. So better they charge, the devotees charge money. And then Prabhupada said once, at least the person will think, so, okay, what is this nonsense which I've bought? And then he'll look at it. But I remember we had this program. The devotees did it a little bit here in a certain form. We had this program in London. There is what they call the tubes, the underground railway. And it's a big system. And it's the most popular, heavily used system in central, well, in London, but particularly in the center for people to get around. And we would go onto the tubes and we would distribute Back to Godhead magazine. But what we would do, we'll get into the carriage, as it's, you know, just about to pull out, we'll get in down one end. Soon as the doors closed, and the thing just started moving, the devotee would shout an announcement. Yes. This announcement right through the whole carriage and get everyone's attention. And normally what they would say was more just some charitable thing. We are, you know, the Hare Krishna movement's helping people. That sort of thing. And then go through with a can in one hand, collecting can, and back to Godheads in the other hand, and just handing them out. And it was, you know, the devotees would distribute at least 1,000 back to Godheads each a day. And between 1,000 and 2,000 was normal. But we found out that the people, you know, they didn't mind giving a donation, so we were collecting a lot. Here we did it on the buses for a while. Yeah. Before I came, like late 70s. So anyway, yeah, we found the people would just throw away the Back to Godhead magazines. So what we did, you know, there were so many magazines going out every day, thousands. So we would sometimes, or often, have someone go through the carriage after the next stop and pick up the magazines that had just been left aside. And they would pick up, you know, it wasn't like half, but it was more than 10%. It was probably 20% of the magazines just got discarded. So Srila Prabhupada really liked it. He didn't like it when Krishna consciousness was just said, like as that man said, just some way of helping destitute young people. No, it's not that. It's for everyone, and that includes the top people. So when Krishna consciousness got seen like that, he didn't appreciate it. Okay, let's carry on. Charge them some money. So when people see that something's free, they think it's worthless. Charge them some money and they'll think it's very nice. Burton Green was a musician, fond of the Swami and fond of banging on the innards of the piano in the temple during kirtan. Okay. Burton Green. We had a really explosive thing to break out of with that capitalistic, materialistic egg sitting on us. So there was so much ferocity in the music to break out of. But spinning out like that, you could have a nervous breakdown. So it was great to go to the Swami's and chant in a small storefront on Second Avenue. The streets were full of maya and perversion, and his was a place to really mellow out. It was great to chant there, to balance my life. It was great to sit and have prasadam with the Swami and get some authentic Indian cooking and chapatis and talk about things, especially when I had very little money in my pocket. It was always nice to go. When Burton asked Prabhupada to attend his piano recital at Town Hall Theater, Prabhupada agreed. Brahmananda, about 7 or 8 of us in our sneakers and jeans had ridden on the subway with Swamiji to town hall. We went in and took our seats, and the concert began. Burton Green came out, opened the piano top, took a hammer, and began wildly hitting on the strings inside the piano. And it went on for an hour and a half. We were all sitting there with Swamiji, and we all began chanting on our beads. There were only about 24 people in the whole theater. When the intermission came, and Swamiji wanted to go to the toilet room, and I went along and helped him, turning on the water in the sink, getting a paper towel for him. Doing these little services for Swamiji seemed like the perfection of my life. There was something so great about him that just doing those things was my perfection. And I felt like I was protecting him, like I was his personal bodyguard. Coming up on the subway, I had shown him how the subway worked and answered his questions. It all seemed very intimate. Anyway, we went back upstairs to our seats, and Burton Green came up to Swamiji saying, "Swamiji, are you happy? Are you comfortable? Do you like it?" And Swamiji was very polite and said, "Yes." Then Burton said, "Now the second part is coming." I interrupted and tried to say that Swamiji is very tired and he takes rest at 10. It was already after 10, so I said we had to go back. But he pressed Swamiji to stay for the second half, and so we had to stay. When the poets came out and recited poetry, we were there, or then the poets came out and recited poetry. We were there until 11:30, and then we had to ride back on the subway. But a few weeks later, I learned that Prabhupada had another reason for going to town hall. He was thinking of renting it for a temple, and he wanted to see it. The Gate Theater was a small auditorium on 2nd Avenue, about 10 blocks north of the storefront. Satswarup, we rented the Gate Theater for one night. It was a dark place, painted all black. The theater was almost empty. We had an easel on stage with a painting of the Panchatattva. Swamiji spoke, and his talk became very technical. Pointing and referring back to the painting, he described each member of the Panchatattva. He first explained that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as a pure devotee. Lord Nityananda, to the right of Lord Chaitanya, is his first expansion, and to the right of Lord Nityananda is Advaita, who's the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. To the left of Lord Chaitanya, he said, is Gadadhar, the internal energy, and Srivas is the perfect devotee. During the talk, I was thinking that this was maybe too elevated for the audience, but I was sitting close beside Swamiji, and like the other devotees, I was really enjoying being with him. After the gate engagement, Swamiji and his disciples agreed that it was a waste of time trying to rent theaters. It was better to go to Tompkins Square Park. That was the best place for attracting people, and it didn't cost anything. It was 11 p.m., and only one light was on in Swamiji's apartment in the kitchenette. Swamiji was staying up, teaching Kirtanananda and Brahmananda how to cook, because the next day, Sunday, they would be holding a feast for the public. Kirtanananda had suggested it be advertised as a love feast, and Swamiji had adopted the name, although some thought it sounded strange at first, to hear him say, "Love Feast." The devotees had put up posters around the neighborhood and had made a sign for the window of the storefront, And Swamiji had said he would cook enough for at least 50 people. He said the love feast should become an important part of ISKCON. As he had explained many times, food offered to Krishna becomes spiritual, and whoever eats the prasadam receives great spiritual benefit. Prasadam meant mercy. His two helpers stood respectfully beside him, sometimes stepping back out of his way as he moved, and sometimes looking over his shoulder as he mixed spices or set a pan over the flame or called for another ingredient. He was stirring a big pot of sweet rice with a wooden spoon. It had to be stirred constantly and slowly adding milk. If the sweet rice burned, it would be ruined, he said, and he handed the spoon to Kirtanananda. He next showed them how to make ghee by heating butter in a wok and separating the milk solids from the butter fat. And he simultaneously taught them how to make apple chutney. Prabhupada was silent as he cooked. But when Brahmananda asked him how he had learned so much about cooking, Prabhupada said that he had learned by watching his mother. He laughed and said it had not been like it is in the West, where you take a lump of flesh from your refrigerator, throw it in a pan, boil it, sprinkle it with salt, and then eat like an animal. And in Korea, he said, they eat dogs. But human beings should eat grains, fruits, vegetables, and milk, and the cow especially should not be killed. While Brahmananda cut the apples for the chutney and put them in a box for steaming, and Kirtanananda stirred the sweet rice, Swamiji prepared masala, the basic mixture of spices which he would soon add to the steaming apples. The familiar smell of red pepper and cumin seeds entered their nostrils sharply as the masala crackled and smoked in the hot ghee in the tiny frying pan. With three separate operations going on at once, sweet rice, steaming apples, and masala, Prabhupada cautioned Kirtanananda to stir the sweet rice steadily and scrape the bottom of the pot. And he took the spoon for a moment from Kirtananda's hand and demonstrated how to stir it properly. Sweet rice, chutney, and certain other dishes could be made in advance of the feast, he explained, but many things would have to be done the next morning. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jaya.